we're kind of stuck on Ezra here a little while. I was studying this week. Didn't plan on going back to Ezra, but I was studying something and took me right back to it. And I come across a phrase. I want to preach tonight on this phrase, around this phrase and in this phrase tonight that I've never saw before. It just kind of stood out to me. And I thought it was amazing. It just kept coming back up. And there's nothing in the Bible that's there by accident. I believe every dot, every tittle, every period, every comma is there for a reason. There. Amen. If you have your Bibles there, let's stand. Ezra chapter number 4. And I'm going to read a couple of verses to you tonight, just here and there, here a little, there a little. And then I'll try to bring the message to you. It's good to be in the house of God. I am so excited about what's going on around here. And I'm excited about our visitors being with us tonight. And I'm excited about our nativity scene coming up just around the bend. Amen. And I'm excited about Brother Biddle going to be with us. So that's a good thing to be excited about. Amen. Ain't God good to us? Amen. And by the way, if you got some loved ones that don't have a home church and they don't go to church, you ought to bring them every Sunday night, and every Wednesday. Amen. But you also, listen, you need to get somebody to hear Brother Biddle preach. If you ever, listen, you don't miss the opportunity to hear Brother Biddle preach. You'll rue that day that you missed the opportunity to hear Brother Biddle preach. I've never seen anybody preach like him. What I'm going to preach tonight, he would just quote the chapter. And that's what he does. He quotes chapters when he preaches. And he's tremendous to be around. He's been a good friend to me and encouragement in the ministry. Look at verse number 10 of chapter number 4. Verse number 10. And look at it with me tonight. Verse number 10 says, "And the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Anasparphar brought over and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on this side of the river, and at such a time." And then, if you will, look at verse number 14. It says, "Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king." He says that search may be made. Let's see. "The search may be made." Now look at with me verse chapter number 5. We'll turn over to chapter number 5. Chapter number 7 and verse number 15. Y'all done got me nervous. Verse number 12. Chapter 7, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra," chapter 7, verse 12, "the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time." And in this thing, there's actually three times in this passage that they begin to use the phrase, "and at such a time." And what I found out, I began to study about that thing, and I thought, well, that's a very unusual phrase, "and at such a time." And it's three times in the book of Ezra, and then also in the book of Esther. And I said, well, what does that mean? And I began to study. I found out that it means to, and so forth. You know, people say, "and so forth." That's what it means. And I got studying, and there's a word we use, and it actually comes from a Latin word, the word et cetera. You see, et cetera, it means "and so forth." And there's a lot of times people, they'll say et cetera, and so forth, and so forth. And I got studying about this thing, about what was going on. Here's what I found out. That there's a lot of things happen on the edge of et cetera. There's a lot of things in the Bible that we see as little things that are big things. I was talking to my brother today, and he said his granddaughter Ruth, and he just wrapped up in them grandbabies, you know. But he said, I was telling about the message, and he said, share with them this while you preach this, and I think I will. And he said that Ruth, Gwen got her children down and lined them all up, and they was going to have their prayer at night, and they began to pray. And so the oldest one began to pray, and she says, "Lord, thank you for mom and dad and the brothers and sisters and all this, and thank you for my food, and thank you for my home, my house, and thank you for all these things, grandpa and grandma." And she went down that line, you know, like that, and said amen. Then the next one, "Mom and dad, thank you for mom and dad, thank you for brothers and sisters, thank you for," you know, went down the line, everything like that. And they get down to little Ruth, and you've got to know Ruth. She's a mess, amen. I mean, she's the most unpredictable child you can be around. And Ruth gets down to pray, and she goes like this, "Dear Father, Lord, thank you for my mom and my daddy and my family and blah, 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 blah." And, she's little. So what she was saying in her terms is et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want to preach tonight on things that happen on the edge of et cetera. And a lot of times what we see in our life is the blah, 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 is where God is really doing some of the greatest work and where the devil fights us the most. It's many times not the main things that we're all focused on. It's the things we come unfocused on, where the victories are won or lost on the edge of a setter. I won't preach on that tonight if you'll just stay with me. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for all the things you've done for us tonight. Thank you for being good to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me now as I bring the message out and give us liberty and freedom of speech and give us that we need to have. Lord, I pray you guard our tongues to say that we should say and guard us from that we should not say. And bless in the service tonight. And Lord, thank you for everyone being here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. You be seated tonight. The Tsar Nicholas had so many names that he would get that end of his and he'd say, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And probably some of us we're so carnal. The only one we know about that is Yul Brynner and the King and I saying, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like that. Amen. Go ahead and say it. Amen. My daughter's laughing. I know I got her on that one. Amen. That's a lot of how we do. We just kind of push things to the side that we don't think is quite as important. But a lot of times that's where, like I said, that's where the victories are won or lost. Look at it with me now in chapter number 4, verse 1. We'll go back there and pick up. Chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Now we see the enemy hears about them. Now I will say this. When the enemy hears, a lot of people say, we'll just do whatever we want to. But if you're going to stand for God, understand this. When you're going to stand for God, the enemy is going to hear about it sooner or later. Amen. And so the enemy hears about it. And then look at verse number 2. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, the king of Asher, which brought us up hither. So we want to participate. Said, you're building back the temple, we hear about it, and we want to participate. We want to get in on this. Verse 3 says, but Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said to them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Now, first of all, we see the enemy hears, and then number 2, we see that the enemy wants to harmonize with us, wants to compromise, wants to be, in our modern day term, wants to be ecumenical. Amen. Let's just all get along. Amen. And that sounds real good, but you know what that means, don't you? It means you're not going to stand where you used to stand when you started. Amen. Ecumenicalism means you got to give up who you are to be together. And that won't work. It never does work. It never stays true to the Word of God. It never stays true to the doctrine. It never stays true to the blood. It never stays true to the songs of gospel. Amen. And so we see the enemy wants to harmonize with them, wants to just get together. The world wants to come in with them. And they said, you don't have anything to do with this. God's commanded us this. And he's given the king, give us liberty to do this. And we're not going to do it that way. Well, look at verse number 4. The Bible says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in the building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And so we see the enemy's hirelings. They hired somebody in to frustrate them, to bother them, to confuse them all the time. I believe we got a lot of those today. And so we see the enemy's hirelings. Number 4 today, look at chapter number 4, verse number 6. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Verse number 7. In the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishlam, Mishredath, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum, the counselor, and Shimshiah, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sort. They then wrote Ruham, the counselor, and Shimshiah, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, the Danites, and the Asperkites, and the Telpelites, the Aspersites, and the Achivites, the Babylonians, the Sanchudites. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of ites right there. Amen. And the Dehavites and the Elamites and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Anaspar brought over and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on the other side, on this side of the river, and at such a time, and at, if you will, at the edge of et cetera. There's a whole lot of people involved that's not being talked about. And then it says, look at with me, it says verse 11, this is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even to Artaxerxes the king, thy servants, the men on this side of the river, look at this, and at such a time, etc., if you will, be it known unto the king that the Jews which come up from thee to us are come to Jerusalem, building the rebellious and bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundations. And so we see the enemy hears, the enemy begins to want to harmonize, the enemy has some hirelings, and the enemy begins to have a handwriting against the Jews. In this handwriting, they're writing to the king and trying to tell him how bad the Jews are. Now understand, Cyrus has passed on, and a new king is on the throne. A new king is on the throne. And they try to write to him and tell him that Jerusalem is doing a bad thing. But they're doing exactly what they've been anointed to do, exactly what Cyrus had allowed them to do, and yet they got the enemy against them. Notice what it says in verse number 12. They talk about certain rebellion. It said, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee and us are coming to Jerusalem, building the rebellious and bad city. It's a rebellion. Now, they ain't saying why it's rebellious and bad. It's just a rebellious and bad city. Amen. I've had people talk about me about things they didn't know about me. You ever had that happen? You ever try to stand for God and somebody go say something about you wasn't just didn't have a clue what they was talking about? I've had people go outside the church and tell other people that I did not love. There was a member years ago. There was a lady, a young teenage girl that had gotten into trouble and was expecting a child. And we brought her and treated her as good as any human being could be treated. Never talked to her in a negative way. And somebody left the church, went all over the neighborhood and said that we hated her. And they didn't a bit more know what they were talking about than the man on the moon. I know what I did. I know what I gave. I know what I did. Some things you just have to outlive. Some lies you just have to live long enough, right enough to prove it's a lie. Amen. That's the truth. And so we see in this, there's a certain rebellion, although they're not certain why. Notice what it says in verse 13. Now stay with me. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so shalt thou have shalt damage the revenue of the kings. He said, not only, they're saying not only is there a certain rebellion, but the truth of the matter, their civil responsibility is awful. They won't pay their taxes. I don't know where they come from that from. But they said, if you let them build that thing back, they won't pay their taxes, and you'll lose money short as the world. Amen. I'm sorry, I've heard things like that said. I remember my brother, when they were building Galilee Baptist Church, there's people went all over the place and said, my brother owned Galilee Baptist Church. He had the, supposedly had the letter of the church. Wasn't true. But they said, sure enough. Look at verse number 15, just for time's sake, look with me. That search be made. Now, they said, listen, there's trouble. There's going to be trouble. So here's what we want you to do. That search be made in the book of the records of the Father. So shalt thou find in the book of the records. And know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful in the kings of provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause this city was the city destroyed. Well, the reason Jerusalem was destroyed is because of sin, not because of rebellion against kings. What they did, they began to talk about things out of context. And people do that too. I had one person talk. Leave the church. I've got a mess point this night. I didn't know I was going to give all these illustrations, but I had a person in a church service one night, went out, and I was visiting, and a fellow said, I don't know about you. I don't know if he should come down there or not. I said, why not? And he said, well, a fellow come to your church and said you're talking in tongues. Now, you can imagine my jaw. I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, he was in the Sunday school class the other day, and you talked in tongues. And I had to think about it for a minute. You know when I found out what he was talking about? It was when Jesus was on the cross. The Bible says, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's right out of the Bible. Amen. But because I read that and lack of understanding, I spoke in tongues. Got to be careful, I'm telling you. Out of context reading, out of context speaking, out of context knowledge will cause damage many times. Amen. And so in Ezra 4:17, then sent the king an answer unto Rehum the chancellor and to Shimshiah the scribe and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria and to the rest beyond the river, peace. And at such a time. You see that? And at such a time. Same word. In our English language, the same word could be translated. It could be today that you have that word then, but you could use the Latin word, et cetera, et cetera. They just troubling. They ain't going to have things, et cetera. Look at chapter 4, verse 21. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that the city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the herd of the kings? And so this king made a commandment now that they could not build the temple anymore and could not build Jerusalem back up. Now, Brother Freddie, you know why that happened? Because on the edge of et cetera, what things they said three times here, such a time, such a time, such a time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, just little things, et cetera, just things being said, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Brother Tony, you know who works on the edge of et cetera? The enemy works on the edge of et cetera. It's those things in our life that seems like, well, that's not a big deal. But I'm telling you, there are big deals. There's those things in our life that we think we can just let slip by, but you can't let it slip by. And you can't say, well, I don't care what they think about me. I mean, when that fellow said I had talking tongues, I had to explain that. I couldn't say, well, what a doofus. You know, I couldn't say that. I mean, a lot of us would want to do that, wouldn't we? What a doofus. Why don't he read his Bible? I couldn't do that, Brother Freeman. Because those little et ceteras will make you shipwreck. Before you know it, it's all over everywhere. Maple Grove Baptist Churches, pastors, talks and tongues. You see what I'm saying here, church? I mean, there are some things that matter. Little things, little passing things. Oh, it's just, you know, such a time, such a time, such a time. Oh, just et cetera, et cetera. Just a little thing. Don't worry about that. Just take it out of context. Just talk about civil responsibilities. You don't pay your bills. Hey, listen, I believe you ought to pay your bills, especially preachers. Especially preachers. And I've heard in the county, there's preachers don't pay your bills. But listen, and they think, oh, that's just et cetera, things that come out. No, I don't think we ought to be beggars. Amen? I think we ought to stay true on those things. Are y'all with me tonight? Here's what I'm saying is, on the edge of et cetera is the opposition. And that's exactly where the enemy works, is at that point, okay? Now stay with me now. Look at chapter number 5. Turn to chapter number 5, and I'll bring you to the next et cetera. Or the next at such a time. The Bible says in chapter number 5, verse number 1, then the prophets Haggai, remember us studying by him? When we do that? Well, we just passed that, didn't we? Just did that Sunday. So then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, even unto them. Now what'd they do that for? Well, we read about that the other night in Haggai chapter number 1 verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. What's he doing? God is beginning to do a stirring and getting them back to service. Now they were told they couldn't do it, but God says they can. Amen. Society told them they couldn't do it, but God said you do it. I want you to do it. You said, well, you're supposed to obey the laws of the land. You are until it goes against God. When it goes against God, then you obey God. Amen. All right, now watch this. And so the stirring begins to happen. Look at Ezra chapter number 5, verse 17. They go down through and begin to stir, begin to build back, and begin to get busy, begin to doing things for God. And for time's sake, look at verse number 17. Now, therefore, the enemy comes back, sees them again. Guess what they do? They fall into the same old trick. And they write a letter again. And they say this, now therefore it seemed good to the king that there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there in Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem. Let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. They went down there and said, hey, what are y'all doing? So we're building back the temple. So what are you doing it for? Because we got commandment and liberty by the king to do so. And God told us to, and this is his house, and we're going to build it. And they said, who's with you? And they said, the elders and this like that, but we're doing according to the commandment of King Cyrus. And they said, boy, we ain't going to have this. You know what we're going to do? We're going to write a letter. All back at the same old trick, ain't it? What they did before, get them to stop. And so they wrote the letter, and that's what they said. I want you to check it out. Check it out and see if that's really so. All right? Look at chapter 6 now. Look at chapter 6. I know we're covering a lot of scripture. I understand that. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Then Darius the king made a decree. They searched it, sure enough. They went and looked. Guess what they found? It was rolled up in a roll. Amen. And then the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasure were laid up in Babylon. And there was found in Alchemetha, in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was the record thus written. And so they found the roll. The scroll was all rolled up, and it's there. The enemy tried to say, use the same old trick, but guess what? They got caught in the trick. And the roll was written where Cyrus said, let them do this thing. The Bible says in verse number 3, in the first year of Cyrus, the king of the king made a decree concerning the house of God in Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifice, and let the foundation thereof be strongly laid. The height thereof is 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits. He lays out exactly how they ought to build it and what they need and everything. Ezra chapter 6, verse 7 says this. Let the work of this house, the king says, let the work of this house be house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in its place. Hey, they wrote a letter to get them stopped, but you know what the letter did? It got them go. Hey, they wrote back and said, get it stopped. But the letter just got them going. Amen. And so the sentence gets changed. But it's much more than that. Look at Ezra chapter 7, verse 11. I'm going to wrap this up in a minute. Look at Ezra chapter 7, verse 11. Now, this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even, chapter 7, verse 11. Now, this is the copy of the letter. And gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, and Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. And so we see in chapter number 7, verse number 12, we see that same phrase come up again. He said, I make a decree that all the people of Israel and all of the priests and of the Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his 7 counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God, which is in thy hand, and to carry the silver and the gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. This is the king's letter. And he says, when you go back, take some gold that we've given to you. And take some more folks home. Woo! Not only did they get to go home and get to build it, but now take some more folks home with you and take the gold that we supplied to you. And when you get on the other side, gather from those folks that want to give. Oh, yeah, by the way, those ones that wrote the letter, they got to give too. They got to give too. Amen. Now watch this. In verse number 18, and whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and gold, that do after the will of your God. So we're going to supply everything you need. But if you get there and you got more than you need, or more than you need just to build it, just take the rest of it and use it whatever God tells you to go. Boy, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Hey, here's the point, church. Verse number 27, he says this, Ezra writes, blessed be the God, Lord God of our fathers, who hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. You know what we find out with that such a time, or in our words, in that et cetera? You know what we find out? We find out that on the edge of et cetera is the omnipotent God. And the omnipotent God has his will in the little things that we count, etc. There's the enemy. They're there. The opposition is there in the little things. But guess what? The great God of heaven is there in the little things too. Amen. I'm glad we don't have to lose all the time. In fact, we don't have to lose none of the time. Amen. Now, I'll give you these two things and let you know this. On the edge of our cetera, on the edge of, you know, those little phrases at such a time, on those little things like that that seem nothing to us, is the enemy working. But also on the edge of those little things that seem nothing to us is the omnipotent God working also, and his will out looking for somebody to work. All right, you ready? Turn to the book of Esther, please. Anybody know where I'm going? So, preacher, I've lost you 20 minutes ago. All right. Esther chapter number 4. Esther chapter number 4, verse number 1. So keep your Bibles open for this one. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, what happened? Well, the enemy What was his name? Old wicked Haman, remember him? He's going to destroy the Jews, right? He's got a gallows built for get rid of Mordecai. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. So under the conflict, he begins to cry out. Verse number 4 says, so Esther's maids and her chambers came and told her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. You remember about Esther, don't you? She's that Jewish girl who's now been made queen over there in that Shushan palace. Amen. Old Mordecai that watched after her, brought her up, was now crying over what God was doing to the Jews. And she says, oh, well, we can't let him be out there renting his clothes like that, so go out there and cover him up. But he said he wouldn't be covered up. Hey, listen, when you're dying, you don't need to cover everything up. Amen? When you're dying, you don't need to cover everything up. That's what a lot of people don't understand. They go through a trouble and they want to cover all the trouble up. But that's the very time to cry out to God. Stay with me now. Watch this. Look at verse number 5. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlain, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. She said, I want to know what's going on. I want to have some understanding. I want to have some comprehension of what you're going through. Verse 7 said, Mordecai told him all that was happening to him and the sum of the money and Haman that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasure for the Jews to destroy them. That's what's happening. Look at verse number 8. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go into the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And he tells her, he said, you need to go in there and you need to get before the king and tell him what's going on and cry out for your people. She's been charged with something. Look at verse number 9. Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him a commandment unto Mordecai. And here's what she writes back. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. She said, it's been 30 days since the king's called me. And if any person walks into the king's presence without him holding out, without being bid or him holding out his golden scepter, dies. She said, the common knowledge is this don't work, Mordecai. Common knowledge says I can't do this. Common knowledge says it don't make sense for me to do that. And I tell you what this, common knowledge is killing folks. You know why the church don't do a lot of things a lot of folks never accomplish anything in their life? Because they got too much common knowledge of how it's always been. We're letting the world dictate how we're supposed to walk instead of letting God dictate how we're supposed to walk. Amen. We need to start being what God wants us to be instead of trying to mimic the world. We need to start mimicking what God wants us to be. Amen. By the way, isn't the word Christian mean Christ-like? Amen. And so she's telling, listen, there's a common knowledge. You can't do this. Verse 12. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to Jews from another place. He said, if you won't do it, said you're going to die and suffer. But guess what? God will raise somebody else up that'll do it. Look what it says. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth where thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. What if you're here just for that et cetera time? See, a lot of people think, well, I'm a nobody and I can't do nothing. And he says, what if maybe in this little brief moment when everybody'd say, oh, that's 100 years have passed. What if that one little brief moment on that one little brief day, y'all reading ahead, amen. What if all the time you spent in a Shushan palace didn't mean anything, but it's going to mean something today? And God, on the edge of et cetera, is waiting for you to step up and do your duty. What if your whole purpose in life was made for this one day? This one moment in time where everybody just say et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe God just wants you to do this one thing, this one time, that's going to impact the whole nation. See, because the wicked work on the et ceteras. And the will of God works on et ceteras. Look at verse number 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present at Shushan and fast for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. If that's the way my life's going to be, if that's the point of God in my life, if it's nothing more than to stand up and say to be counted, if that's what God wants me to be, then that's going to be all right. I'd rather be in the will of God and perish than go with the crowd and die in the palace. She says, I'll go. You pray, I'll pray, and I'll go. And so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And you know what happens, don't you? Oh, she has a dinner. She goes into the king's presence, and he loves her so much, he holds his scepter out. Amen. She goes up and touches that scepter, and he says, what do you want? She said, I'd just like to invite you to a dinner. And she invites him and invites old Haman, and Haman comes in there, and he gets all braggart about everything, and he thinks he's going to have Mordecai lead him around on the grounds and toot a horn and talk about all he does. Instead of, you know what he's got to do? He's got to do it for Mordecai. It makes him mad as fire. He goes home, and his family wife tells him, says, you better leave him alone. You're in trouble. But you know what? Esther has another dinner. While she's having a dinner, Haman finds out what all he's in trouble about. And the old king steps out for a little bit, and he falls down on her bed begging her not to say anything. And about that time, king walks back in, and it looks as though he tried to force her in his own presence. Why, she don't even have to say anything. The king takes care of everything. But you know what happened? It made a difference in the et cetera. It's not always the big things in our life. Not all of us are created for big things. But it's those et ceteras that take up more time in our lives than the big moments. There are more et ceteras than there are big days. You understand what I'm saying? There are more times when day after day after day after day after day, the et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that seems like nothing's going on. That, Mama, that's when you're teaching your children how to live a Christian life. Daddy, that's when you're teaching your children how to be a Christian. Mom and Dad, that's when you're telling your pastor that you're faithful to the house of God. Those et ceteras on Wednesday night are the ones that make the difference. It's that same old Wednesday night, same old Wednesday night, same old Wednesday night that are making a difference in people's lives. You never know what God might take an et cetera. Hey, listen, either that et cetera is going to have the devil in it, or it's going to have God in it. Amen? Either your pew is going to be empty and the devil's going to get the victory, or your pew is going to be full and God's going to get the victory. Either your Bible's going to be broke open and read, or your Bible's going to be kept closed and not read. Either you're going to have a prayer life or you're not going to have a prayer life. Either you're going to witness to your loved ones like you've done 100 times before, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It makes a difference, church. Amen. Everything we do makes a difference. Who knows? But what such a time as this, God ain't put us right where he's put us to do exactly what he wants us to do. Because if we don't, the enemy's going to win. Let's all stand. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows if you're not been born? I've heard people say, boy, I wish I could have been born back when you were in Paul's era. And if God had wanted you to be born back in Paul's era, you'd have been born there. God didn't want you there. He wanted you here, right now. I heard a statement years ago said, this generation of saved folk are responsible for this generation of lost folk. We're responsible for all those around us today. Not 200 years ago. Not 200 years in the future. Those that we walk the streets with today. Those et ceteras, et ceteras that we pass by. those moments of the day that we pass by, those hours where we do something that we don't take opportunity. That's what makes the difference, Brother Freddie. Consistency is what makes the difference. Consistency. I'm going to have a pianist come play something soft tonight. And while she comes play tonight, I know it's a kind of unusual message. I understand that. I hope my babblings didn't confuse it. But I want you to grasp that every little thing matters. It does matter. The devil will tell you that it don't matter, but it does matter. Every little thing matters. The Bible says he's going to hold us accountable for every idle word. You know what the word idle mean? It means vain, useless words. Think about that. When we get to heaven, every word that we've used that didn't mean anything, God's going to hold us accountable for. Well, that's convicting. Amen. I'm going to have the altar call tonight. First of all, I have everybody have their head bowed, every eye closed. Every eye closed, no one looking around. I wonder how many raise their hands tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm saved on the way to heaven. I know I am." Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't be looking around. All right? Put your hand down. I wonder if there's one here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Pray for me." Is there one tonight among us? Raise your hand tonight. All right? Listen tonight. If you've got some et ceteras, and we all do, maybe you've thought, maybe what I'm doing is not making a difference. I want to beg you tonight to let you know that it makes a difference. For such a time as this. Such a time as this. Such a time as this. The enemy was writing letters for such a time as this. God was answering letters for such a time as this. God was installing one young little girl in a kingdom for such a time as this. Everybody plays a part. Everybody plays a part. What's that great quote? All it takes for evil to win, for evil to be successful, is that good men do nothing. That good men do nothing. Good men, good women, good young folks do nothing. It's those little things in our life that we think just pass by. Oh, I can miss this. I can sit out of that. I can lay out of that. I cannot pray. I cannot take part. It won't make no difference. Oh, it'll make difference. I'll tell you this. When my dad wasn't preaching, church, look up here while these are in the altar. Look up here. When my dad wasn't preaching, now think about this. When we went to meetings, Brother Tony, Dad... Someone said that my dad drugged me. He drug us all over the place to meetings and revivals. I'm glad he did. But when my dad wasn't going to preach, we went to revivals. And when he didn't have a big name and nobody ever knew everything about him, and he went to revivals, he took us with us. And he could sit under a preacher and weep over what the preacher's preaching. There's a little tiny boy sat beside him, watched him weep. And let me tell you something. Those et ceteras made a huge impact on my life. I didn't know all he had, but I knew whatever he had was real, and I wanted it. I wanted what he had. I wanted what he had. Those little et ceteras, those little moments when it seemed like it's not important, it's very important. Dad, it matters how we live. It matters what we say. It matters how we treat Mama. Mama, it matters what you do. It matters what you do, how you do. Will you keep secrets or you're truthful? You're honest or dishonest? Children see that. Children pick up on dishonesty just like that. Just as quick as we want us to pick up on the good characteristics of us, be honest, they pick up on the bad ones just as quick. Don't they? In fact, sometimes the bad ones are picked up quicker than the good ones. It's those little et ceteras in our life that makes a difference. That's what makes a difference. Makes a difference. Just take your time. I've seen people over years think, "Oh, I don't matter." My mom, she became older and she got where she couldn't get around some. She said, "I don't know that I have any impact." I said, "Mom, every time you walk the door, you have impact." Just being there after 70-something years is impact. Somebody says, what you got's real. You can be 70 and still have something real, Miss Tracy. Does it not make impact when you see a white-haired person walk in the house of God? I'm telling you right now, when Brother Biddle walks in on January 9th, he walks in the door, he don't have to preach. If he come in and didn't feel well and wanted to preach, couldn't preach, just sit on the front row, I'd be tickled to death just because what his life is. Makes an impact. His life of et cetera's. It's not just the Sunday services. It's those Monday through Saturdays that make up the difference. Makes a difference. Amen. Brother Freeman, can you dismiss us tonight, please, sir? Amen. I don't want nobody to move. Don't want nobody to move. I ain't going to shoot you. You can sit down for a second if you want to. If you'd like to.